This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you season two of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts. Podcasts.
Can't get enough of the fan in the morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, away we go. We do a podcast. Al, what's up?
Oh, hi, Jerry. A loyal podcast listener, Mike Torch. Jerry, he DMs me a lot. Okay. He wanted a birthday shout-out. He turns 28 today.
Okay, happy birthday, dude.
And the reason I'm doing it is because...
He paid you?
He did not pay me, but I feel his pain in that he wrote to me, I'm already stressed out that I have to go to dinner on a weeknight. So this is a man...
Why?
Well, there are people, Jerry, that are like me. They found me as their... As Gina said to me one time... You're the leader of a bunch of weirdos. Like, there are weird people like you who see you as their leader.
But when you've gone out on Valentine's Day at 5 o'clock for dinner,
yeah.
I'm not saying 7:30. I agree. That's cutting it a little close. 5 o'clock dinner.
Yeah, I can make an exception, but I am with this fellow Mike here. I would be thinking about it all day long.
All right.
So yesterday, Gina came back from a trip.
And I forgot about that.
Yeah, and she called me. I was on my ride home, and she goes, hey, I need you to pick me up, not at the airport, because that's really far. She goes, I need you to pick me up at the Long Branch train station.
Hold on. You let her take New Jersey Transit from the airport?
Yes. Her and her girlfriend were doing that. Oh. They were getting off at different stops.
Okay.
I was already, as she knows, which is nice.
Okay.
And even the just going to Long Branch is, I think it's like 20 minutes from my house.
Right.
So in my head, I'm like 20 and 20. That's almost another hour of travel. So I said to her, I go, there was no game plan. Like, she goes, I didn't want to tell you prior because then you would just think about it all day long.
That's true.
I said, well, you know, that is true. I really would have thought about it. I said I would have thought about it before you left.
What time is this at?
I needed to pick her up at. I'm trying to think. I had to leave my house at 1:15.
Oh, my God, dude. You couldn't hang out and just go to the airport and get her on the way home?
No, because the dog. She wasn't. I couldn't because of the dog situation. I really couldn't.
Okay.
Because when I got home, she was still just landing. And no, I could not, unfortunately, because of the dog.
You're panicked over a 1:15 pickup 20 minutes away.
Yes.
Al, I love you, but holy shit, dude.
20 minutes away and 20 minutes back, Jerry. That's what you're not counting. You're not counting the other 20 minutes back, 40 minutes total.
I know that we live far different lives.
Yes.
I get it. I accept it. All good. I didn't get home till 9 p.m. last night.
Yeah, that seems
and didn't
nuts.
Even give it a thought.
Yeah, that's crazy to me.
I shouldn't say 9, 8:15 by the time I got home from Joseph's baseball game.
Yeah, so that I would not be able to handle that. My brain can't handle that.
Okay.
And my dog is giving me more mental illness having the dog.
More, not less.
Not less. Oh, no, no.
The stress I get.
Yeah, no, more. That's what I was hoping that the dog, that having all these people tout how great having a dog is. To me, because of my weirdness, I am more stressed out having a dog than not because I put the dog's happiness over everything else.
Yeah, and I've explained that to you.
Taking care of the dog.
Right. And I think the dog should be very grateful to have a nice, warm and cool place to live and be fed wonderfully and be taken out when it needs to. I think the dog's doing just fine.
Yeah, I don't know how to, but when a living creature is looking at you and counting on you,
sure,
that you can't communicate.
Well, I've raised two of them.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying, but that you can't really communicate with.
I've got two cats.
Yeah,
as well.
Right. You have two cats.
Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, when we're not home, as long as I know someone's going over to give them food.
Yeah.
Even there have even been times where we've just dumped a ton of food down and really loaded up the litter box and left them for 2 days.
Yeah, well, cats are very independent.
They're like teenagers. Like my wife will say, isn't that, it's kind of, that's tough. I'm like, would you rather them go wander the sewers for food? Like, they're good.
Yeah.
Or to avoid the rain by climbing up a tree. Like, I promise you, they're living in the lap of luxury right now. They're fine.
Yeah, they're doing pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I would say your cats.
Yeah. And so is Whimsy.
Yeah.
Doing great.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I can't get past. I don't know who to talk to, Jerry.
This is an ongoing battle that until she passes,
yep,
you're not going to be able to get
correct
over. I know. I know.
That is correct.
You've eased with your anxiety over it, but it's still clearly there.
Yeah, I have at times and I haven't at times.
Well, it's like you're very cyclical.
Yeah.
Like right now we're in a low period where cable TV rates are not bothering you and empty stadiums you've not really noticed.
Uh-huh.
At some point, I won't walk out on this on the show.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to contribute any longer, mm-hmm, to that conversation. I'll just let you go.
Which one in particular?
When you start doing, you know, your cable. Every like 4 months.
the cable bundles, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. Or yeah, whatever, attendance and money and all that,
yeah,
stuff,
yeah,
in sports.
Grandma's paying for cable.
The dog,
yeah,
is cyclical too.
Yeah, yeah.
There are times you seem great with the dog. Mm-hmm. There are other times you seem like you want to pull out any other hair that you have,
yeah,
left on your head.
Yes.
So I get it. I understand.
Yeah. And
because it's a decision you do. You love the dog, but you ultimately do regret.
Yeah. And that, unfortunately, is going to live in every decision I make for the rest of my life.
In what
way?
Explain.
In that I'm not going to trust my decision-making process.
Okay.
Because I'll feel like, oh, I made this other decision, which was a bad one. So now I'm not going to make any more decisions because I don't want to regret my decisions. So this will stop me from making any decisions.
Because you regret every decision.
Yeah,
even your car, you said you did.
Right. I do regret most decisions, but most decisions are reversibles. Like, you can change them. If you buy a car that you
can,
and you're not going to be scorned by society. If you find if having a dog is not working out for you and getting the dog into another loving home, you are still the devil to most people.
That's true. If you live your life publicly and you share that, yes.
Yes, mm-hmm, correct. Right, exactly.
Unless you're allergic to it.
Right, or if it attacked me.
In which case it might get put down as opposed to finding another home.
Correct, yeah.
This dog attacked me. Would you and your kids enjoy this dog? That's probably not a great idea either. But you're right. You get rid of a dog or a cat.
Oh, you're
people
right.
Think you're the pits.
You are the pits, right. Mm-hmm. If I were to say, hey, I decided these kids are not for me. I'm going to leave my wife and kids and never see them again. People be like, listen, man, he's growing as a person. It is what it is, man. Relationships are tough. But if you were like, having this dog thing is really making me
you
mental.
Disgusting piece
yes.
of filth.
Yes, I'm a piece of garbage. Yeah. I don't know what it, you know, there's so many things about my life that are monotonous that I like and that I keep monotonous.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are other things that are monotonous that absolutely make me insane.
That drive you crazy?
Yeah. Like walking the same streets with the dog.
Sure.
At the same times. Oh, my God.
Your routine bothers you. As much as you love a routine, that routine bothers you.
Yeah, I do love a routine.
Mm-hmm.
But that one really bugs me.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
I love a schedule.
Yes.
It's funny, when Kim and I first started dating, and way back when, and we would go on vacation. It would be, what's the plan this week? And we both agreed, no plan. Let's just enjoy it. Let's not think about it. And whatever we decide that morning, that's what we'll do. And I realized a few years into that more times than not, we would get up and have no game plan. And you would literally just waste a couple of hours trying to figure out what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
So that was probably right before we got married or right after we got married. And since that time, I will not schedule a vacation without a daily routine. Now, I will leave some gaps for just sitting by the pool unless there's something better to do, or go to the beach unless there's something else we want to do. But for the most part, I want to know from the time I land to the time I'm going back to the airport how I'm filling those days with things that we want to do, as opposed to staring at one another, asking us asking each other what we want to do. Because that, to me, is
the
worst.
Yeah, that's tough on vacation. You burn a day like that.
Yes, that's the worst. It's just a waste of time.
Yeah, I guess I don't like knowing in advance I have something, but I guess that day I would like to have a game
plan. You have
to.
You have to know what you do. Otherwise, it just time just passes and you spend all that money and you don't do anything.
Yeah.
So that's me anyway.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I have a question for you. I've been asking people this in my life. I asked Gina this. We hear a lot about people dealing with trauma, right? Mm-hmm. And my question is this. If someone, and I really started thinking about this when I watched the one documentary Gio had talked about. There was this, these school children in California in the 70s. And somebody kidnapped them with their bus. They took over the bus. They drove the bus. Now, they held the kids at gunpoint, I believe, to get them. They drove the bus. They buried the bus, threw sand on the bus. The kids were able, with the help of an older kid and the teacher, they were able to escape.
Wow.
It lasted one full day. So for one full day, the kids were kidnapped. There were guns involved. They were buried. They got out one full day. Every kid's life got screwed up, even as adults. Like, I wonder, what about a one instance of trauma stays with someone their entire life?
Sure. Oh, I mean, I know it's more than just one day of trauma, but you think about soldiers that come back.
Yeah.
That can't get their life in order because they can't get images out of their head. And not images they create, images that they saw and witnessed.
Yeah.
Those are really hard things to escape. And I don't, luckily for me, I haven't been in the military. I haven't dealt with that. I haven't had a trauma like what you're talking about.
I'm talking about like a what, like these kids, it was a one day. Now, granted, it was interesting. It was one day. They weren't physically hurt by the kidnappers,
but terrified.
But they, I will tell you, they have had alcohol problems, drug problems, relationship problems, almost all of them.
My guess would be, and we certainly ain't doctors here, my guess would be their bodies were so full of adrenaline, terror, fear. I mean, any emotion that you think you would experience, they experienced, that there are triggers that probably bring those feelings back often, maybe every time they see a school bus. Maybe every time they see kids getting on a school bus, anytime they see a story on the news about a kidnapping, and my guess would be that they don't know how to deal with it, and you end up going down the wrong route, whether it's drugs, alcohol, shutting your life down. I don't know, but it's got to be something that's really difficult to get over.
Yeah, I always wonder about that. Like,
I mean, I'll give you one that's not, it's not even close to that. For me, worse for my friend, but, you know, a friend of mine died when I was in college, at Jersey City State College. I'll never forget when a cop came into the, I shouldn't say cop, a university security officer stopped class and called out my name and said, I need to speak with you. My first thought was, why am I being arrested? I didn't do anything. Then my second thought was, something's not right. And he said, we got some bad news. I immediately thought one of my parents passed away.
Yeah.
And I was told, you need to call home. One of your friends was killed in a car accident. I didn't know who it could be.
Oh, my gosh. So yeah. They didn't have a name.
He didn't. It was, wow. I think it was my brother. Might have been my brother that called the university to get me out of class to get home. And it was. I just remember, I had a cell phone. I think, you know, I did have a cell phone, but I didn't know what was going on. So I remember going to the office and calling my brother, and he told me that it was our friend who got into an accident the night before. And there was a long backstory to that, but neither here nor there. And I remember driving home in complete silence. And then when I got home, getting the details of the accident, which were just horrific, and exactly where it's taken place, I will tell you, because I'm on the road often, if not almost every day, there's not a time I don't pass by the spot where that car hit the pole that I don't think of him or driving at a high rate of speed, as he was, supposedly. It doesn't leave you. A friend of mine that I think you've met him, maybe not, got into a car accident, should have died, didn't. I know the exact intersection where a guy ran a red light. They call it T-boned him.
T-boned, yeah.
And obliterated his car. How the airbags basically saved him, although he was very close to death. Every time I go through it, I take extra. It's in my head. Doesn't leave me. So that's not the same thing.
I'm saying imagine that had you witnessed those things.
Sure. That's what I'm saying. Like, for me, it's a lesser degree, and yet I still can't get that out of my head. And I wasn't part of it, or did I witness it? Now, if I did see it, or I was the one in it and lived through it, how do you get that out of your mind?
Yeah.
I don't know. Now, my friend has done well. How, I don't know, but he's done well. And my other friend obviously passed away from the accident. But, you know, those are things that have never left me.
Yeah, and then I'm sure people, and these kids from the documentary said, like, they'll have dreams about it as
yeah.
well. So even if you're able to get out of your head for a couple days, a couple weeks, whatever.
It recurs.
Yeah, it could resurface itself.
And there's no, and I don't know the answer to this, there's no way to block dreams. Is there
a supplement
or a drug you can take to where you just peacefully sleep without?
No.
I mean, you can't turn off those, what are they, neurons in your brain or whatever.
Yeah,
the
no,
hell they
those
are.
Things are, they're yeah. firing at all times.
Yeah, scary stuff.
Yeah. It's just so, so crazy.
Yep. Yep, sure is.
And then forget it. If you had a lifetime of trauma or a childhood, good Lord.
Well, I mean, that's the sad part about, you know, kids in abusive homes.
Yeah.
I don't know how you escape that. I don't know if you ever do.
Yeah, I don't think you do. I don't think you... I do have some people in my life that I'm friends with who came from terrible families and are very normal and don't appear... They appear to have come out unscathed.
Well, I think it depends.
Which is weird.
Depends on the person. There are certain people where that will motivate them
yeah.
to be better and to they'll have more drive. They don't want to live that life ever again or see that life ever again. And I applaud those people. I mean, even if you look at whether it's baseball players, whether it's basketball players, football players, where they knew, even Eminem, as a matter of fact, always talks about how he needed a way out. And music for him was the way out. And he was going to do it and do it and do it until... Now, for every Eminem, there are 9 million people that don't break through.
Yeah.
But you see that story all the time in pro sports from athletes that, you know, have really tough upbringings. And this was their way to, whether it's financial freedom, peace of mind, get away from that life, you know, whether it was wherever, you know, that creates a work ethic that a lot of, as they will say, comfortable kids don't have.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you hear that from people who are wealthy and have done well in life now that came from growing up poor, and now they have kids. Joe Rogan talks about this, mm-hmm. actually, saying that he does, that is a concern of his. Like, his kids have never needed anything.
Right.
And he grew up on food stamps and things and how... Part of that was the motivation that got him to where he is now.
Yeah.
And is it tough for kids that grow up wealthy in that they don't have that drive, they were never desperate.
Yeah.
For anything.
I think obviously when you're young, your experiences probably drive you in a direction you might not have otherwise gone. So. Again, much smaller scale. I didn't grow up on food stamps or anything like that, so I don't want to compare myself to Joe Rogan. But growing up, very normal, I would say a very normal middle-class household. My mom was home until... My mom went to work when I was like 14, I would say. That's when she wanted to get out of the house and start having her own career. But until then, she was home all the time, took us wherever we had to go. My dad worked, and my dad worked a lot, but always... Always, always made the time to coach us in baseball. I remember times he'd be rushing back from Secaucus to make a 6 o'clock game to get there by 5:45 to hit a couple of ground balls and And he worked his ass off to make sure he got there. But I do remember, and no fault of his at all, he wasn't around during the day, like ever, because he worked like a normal dad used to work. And to me, not that I got into this business not to work normal hours, I didn't. But one of the benefits to this business is that you don't work normal hours. I think the amount of time I've had with my kids compared to the amount of time I've had with my dad when he was raising us might be, I don't even think I'm exaggerating, might be 10 times the amount of time I've spent with them than he spent with them, only because he was at work,
right,
like everybody. And I always remember, like, the more time I could spend, it did help. I don't know how it would have been if I had girls. I don't know. I've never raised a girl. It was so easy, though, with two boys that grew up putting a bat in their hand at two and liking it. I mean, it was like a blast. But I do think maybe the way I grew up, subconsciously, that's how, I don't know. I don't know.
Right.
But it does shape you. It has to.
Yes. But you could have gone the opposite way, too, if you didn't feel like you spent a ton of time with your dad. You would think that's the way to be a father as well.
That's true. Yeah.
But yeah. I think back then our dads worked the normal
9 to 5.
9 to 5 hours.
Yeah.
And it's probably even better now with people working a lot of jobs from home.
Mm-hmm.
You have a better way to interact with the family.
Yeah, I would think so.
Rather than just sitting in traffic and
I remember going to work with him a couple of times as a kid.
Yeah.
Sitting on that New Jersey turnpike sometimes, the exit at 16W, and then the traffic when we would get out. And he worked, if we didn't have a game that he had to get to, he usually worked until 6, and we'd get home around 7 o'clock. I remember his days were long. And I remember going to work with him a couple of times thinking that every day, wow, this is hard. Like, you're spending so much time in the car.
Yeah.
And it was just, ugh.
Where was where he went to Sea Caucus?
Yeah. Harmon Meadow Cove, that area in Secaucus.
So he would go Parkway Turnpike situation?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Parkway to the Turnpike, sometimes just 35 to 9 up to the Turnpike. But he lived on the New Jersey Turnpike.
Do you ever think like you're taking the same route to work as your dad?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
I always think of because my dad worked at Newark Airport. Mm-hmm. And I drive by Newark Airport. I was like, this is a similar right. Although I guess if you grow up in this area and work in this area, yeah, you kind of were taking the same roads.
And I worked with him for about 6-7 months and drove with him to work every day.
That Sea Caucus seems way up there, Jerry.
But it's so much better than New York City.
Yeah.
It's so much easier. As much as I'm complaining about what the traffic was like back then in the air, because it was such a flooded area with all the businesses. I don't know how busy it is there now. I'm not sure. It's giant parking lots.
We do love a giant parking lot when we see one.
Love a parking lot.
Oh, my God, look at this, Jerry.
Are you kidding? The best part of it.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
We need giant parking lots here in New York.
We have them for $7.50 a month.
Oh.
As opposed to free.
That seems expensive.
A little bit.
It'd be cool to be in the parking lot business, though. Doesn't seem like a lot to maintain, right?
Yes and no. I don't like the ones where they got to lift your car over the other car.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
But if you're talking about just like when you go to a wedding venue in New Jersey and it's just a massive parking lot,
yes,
fantastic.
Yeah.
I could do that.
Or you get down to Atlantic City, the casinos have just a big parking garage.
That's fine.
Let me park right in here.
That's no problem. I'm good with that.
Yeah, you're right. When you pass by those places in New York, those parking lots, where it's not a parking garage, it's a lot. And then they have those
stack the cars.
Risers where they just stack the cars on metal.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
Yeah, that seems
there's
strange.
Got to have been a time, too, because I've done it in the driveway, where I have a 5-speed. I've always had a 5-speed, aside from two cars, where I've gotten out of the car, whether it was just thinking about something on the phone, and I forget to put the emergency brake up and put the car in gear. I start to get out, and the car starts rolling back. Jam on the brake. There's got to have been a guy that has put one of those 5-speeds on a lift and it rolled off.
Correct.
Has to have happened.
Absolutely.
Which would be terrifying.
Falling right. I'm just here to pick up my car. It fell off the lift. And you owe this guy because it landed on his car.
It's in the shop. I hope you have insurance.
Although you have insurance, you have the parking lot.
So true.
All right, Jerry, let's do the warm-up program now.
That was deep today.
That was a little deep. Tomorrow, Jerry, you will be in here for Boomer.
Oh, that's right. He just left.
I've got CeeLo tomorrow morning.
Correct.
I'm going to hit his ass with some cable topics.
There's no Mets or Yankees tonight. Great day to do it.
It's going
to
be so awesome.
What are you going to talk about? There's no basketball tonight. There's nothing tonight.
Oh, this is going to be great.
Oh, God.
Well, I actually did see a...
Poor CeeLo.
I did see a streaming from Nielsen. Oh, I'm going to bring this up to CeeLo tomorrow. It's a streaming percentages from Nielsen that tells you what percentage of the audience each of these things has, like Netflix, YouTube. It's interesting. I hit his ass with that tomorrow.
Awesome.
All right, we'll see you on the War Room.